Our scripture today is from John chapter 13, verses 4 through 15, and you'll find that printed for you also. John 13, 4 through 15. This is God's holy word. He got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you." Thus far, God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray again. Father, prepare our hearts to receive this truth. We ask that you make us to be doers and not only hearers of it. We pray, Lord, to understand it and to be able to communicate it to others as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the better known incidents in the life of Jesus is his washing of the disciples' feet. This took place in the upper room where the Passover was being celebrated. And we are looking, of course, as we have been for some months now, at the highlights of Jesus' life, but we're spending a lot of time with him in the upper room, and today is the second of these studies. We looked at the institution of the Lord's Supper last time, and today, now, still in the upper room, the washing of feet. It was customary for the host of an event to send servants to wash the feet of his guests, most of whom would have walked in sandals along dusty roads to get to this destination. Now, I want you to note two things as we begin this morning. First of all, there appears to be no servants in evidence at this meal. Evidently, whoever was helping to bring in the things had set them down and departed, and that was just Jesus and the disciples. So none of the men who were in the room at this time were ready to participate in things other than receiving the meal and celebrating the Passover. And so that's the second thing then, that though there were no servants in evidence, then nobody volunteered up to this point to do any of the things that a servant would do. So Jesus then does something that is shocking and even embarrassing, not to him, but to the others there, doing the work of the lowest ranking servant. In other words, if you had a household full of servants and you assigned them various duties, well, the one who would wash the feet of the people who have come in, he would be the lowest of all the servants. He would have to do the dirty work, as it were. Remember that show that used to be on television about the dirtiest jobs or something? Well, this would have been one of those dirtiest jobs. So I want us to take a look then at what Jesus is doing and what it says generally about Jesus and what it says about us as we are observers of what is taking place here. So I have 4 points this morning. First of all, Jesus plainly states the reason why he is washing the disciples' feet. He doesn't leave it mysterious. Why is he doing this? He tells them very plainly about it. That's the first point. The second is that the foot washing comes right after a discussion that we don't have in John's Gospel, from which we read this morning, but it is in Luke's Gospel, for example, because the disciples were having a discussion around the table at this point as to which one of them was the greatest. And so the foot washing comes right after that debate or conversation that they were having. And then thirdly, Jesus' service, that is his foot washing, is linked to his love for his disciples. You can't separate it and say, well, he just felt nobody else is doing it, so I'm going to do it. But he did it out of love for them. And then finally, we want to concentrate a bit on the washing part of it, because even though it's not the main part of the conversation here, it is something that fills up a lot of the time when Peter resists Jesus washing his feet, and then Jesus has to explain to him how important it is for him to do that. So those are our 4 points this morning. Okay, so Jesus plainly states that the reason for washing his disciples' feet is, you see it in verse 15 there of the passage, you should do as I did to you. Very simple, not anything deep and mysterious here. You should do as I did to you. That's the whole purpose of it. So again, let me say, this is not an exercise about washing and how important foot washing is and so forth. It's a matter of service. It's a matter of service. The emphasis here is on service, not on foot washing. Now, a couple things to keep in mind, okay? It's about serving. And no act of service that we do in Christ's name and following Christ, no act of service that we do should be considered beneath us. So again, remember, who did the foot washing usually? The lowest of the servants. And Jesus says, you should not think, well, that's too menial a task for me. I'll not stoop and literally stoop to do that. I just won't do it. But he says there's no act of service that we should consider beneath us. And in fact, you see, that he came into the world from heaven, from glory, from perfection, to come down into this sinful mess down here and do something for us, tells us that it was not beneath him, as it were, to come into the world in order to carry out the will of the Father, to do his duty. So, nothing is beneath us if we're doing it for the Lord. And Anne, if you want to give a bulletin to our latest person coming in. Then secondly, no act of service should be considered minor. In other words, there are a lot of important things to do from our perspective, important things to carry out, but nothing in the way God has arranged things and called us to, nothing should be considered minor. And even though, like the Apostle Paul, we may say, I'm the chief of sinners, I'm so unworthy, nevertheless, whatever God has given us to do is important. Now, we might go back in time to the days of the Exodus, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and then God gave them this beautiful tabernacle to carry with them through the desert until they reached the promised land, and it was even continued to be used for a long time after that. There was no brick and mortar edifice, I should say, until many years later. So they had this tent that they carried around, and there were a lot of things to do about that tent. And of course, there were some people who were assigned the duty to take care of the tent and to put it up and take it down and so forth. And there might have been somebody that had the responsibility to handle the tent pegs. You know, you have to have tent pegs to keep the thing upright and from blowing away and so forth. So somebody would have that responsibility. And if you came up to that man and said, "Oh, you work for the tabernacle on behalf of the tabernacle." And he might have said, "Well, all I do is carry the tent pegs." But you see, that's very important. If he doesn't do his job, if he doesn't see that those pegs are in the right place and get driven in the right way into the ground, well, what's going to happen to the tent? It's going to collapse. It's just a minor thing. He just carries the tent pegs. But it's so important that he do his work. There's nothing in the kingdom of God that we do that we should say, "Oh, that's just minor. I don't do very much. I'm not very important." Nothing that we do as an act of service would be minor. Now let's come forward to this time of the upper room and the disciples with their dirty feet. And suppose there were a servant in the room. Would we say, "Well, he doesn't have anything important to do"? No, we would say that that fits this too. That's a part of this Passover. That's a part of that responsibility. And we would say that wasn't a minor act either. Because God works everything together so that we can serve him perfectly. But all together. Not just by ourselves as individuals. But when we carry out his plan and purpose, then we're doing our job and it's not minor and it's important. And then I want you to notice this about Jesus. He says that, and this, we didn't read this today, but it's right at the beginning of this 13th chapter of John. It says, having loved his disciples, he loved them to the uttermost. King James says he loved them to the end. And he loved them to the furthest extent of his ability to love them. And in a way, that's kind of an oxymoron because he has infinite love. But you get the idea. He loved them to the uttermost. He loved them enough to go to the cross and die for them on the cross.
Could you ask Jesus to let me find my wallet with $350 in there?
Okay.
Please.
Lord, I pray that you'll help Doris to find her wallet and find that money. She needs it. So we ask you to help her in Jesus' name. I'm sorry, I thought you were just resting your arm there when you raised your
hand. Okay. Okay.
All right. All right, back to the upper room here. Jesus loved his disciples to the uttermost, but I think that also means he served them to the uttermost, to the full extent of his ability, and that's how we ought to do our service. That's my point here. That Jesus, in demonstrating this sort of love, in demonstrating that nothing is minor, that everything is important, it's important that we do it with all of our might, as it were. That we give God the fullness of our energy and effort as well. And it all kind of folds into this thing again. Jesus says, "Do you know what I just did?" And he doesn't use these words, but he says, "I showed you that everything is important, that nothing is minor, that you're important, and that you ought to work fully and completely and do it with all your might." That's the first thing. That's our first point. Jesus plainly states the reason for washing his disciples' feet. You should do as I did to you. Secondly, the foot washing comes right after the discussion about who is greatest. And I'll just read to you from Luke 22, begin with verse 24. Then a dispute, now this is in the upper room and they're having the Passover and so forth. It says, then a dispute arose among them about who should be considered the greatest. But he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles dominate them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and whoever leads like the one serving. For who is greater, the one at the table or the one serving? Isn't it the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. That's the key verse. I am among you as one who serves. So, having said I'm among you as one who serves, then what did he do? He got up and he served them. He got up and he washed their feet. Now, let's bring Judas Iscariot into the story here. It's right about this time that he leaves. Okay, he goes out. And nobody's quite sure why he leaves. Most of them think that Jesus has given him some errand to run. But he leaves. But we know that he left because he was disgusted. Why was he disgusted? Well, he was disappointed. Because instead of Jesus saying, I'll raise you all up and make you important people, Jesus said, you're going to have to be servants. So you have a disappointed, glory-seeking Judas Iscariot departing from the upper room just at this point. But the other disciples are not that much different from Judas. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been having this dispute among themselves. Who among us is the greatest? Who's going to have the highest seat? Who's going to get the most attention? So they have greatness on their minds also. What does Jesus say? If you want to be great, then you have to be the servant of all. And he says, I am among you as one who serves. So what Jesus does following this dispute and now getting up and washing the feet, he turns their aspirations. We want to be great. He turns their aspirations upside down. And he condemns the way of the world. The world says, be like the great kings. Have authority. Tell this one to go and that one to go. And serve me first. And Jesus says, no, don't do it that way. Do it my way. My way is to serve. Remember now, they'd all gathered in this room and they'd been there a while and had had part of this Passover meal. And not one of them had said, Lord, let me do the washing. There's nobody here to wash the feet. I'll do it. Not one of them had said that. Not one of them had seen that that was an important thing to do and said, okay, I'll do it. If nobody else will do it, I'll do it. But again, Jesus says, since nobody else has done it, and of course that was his plan. I don't mean he was taken by surprise here. But that was his plan. And he says, I'm among you as one who serves. So keep in mind that this whole business of the foot washing just turns upside down all their ideas about greatness and what they should be pursuing and how they should live their lives. And then that folds right into the fact that Jesus is going to go to the cross and die for sinners so that they might not perish but have everlasting life. All right, our third point is this. Jesus' service is linked to his love for his disciples. Again, I go back to verse 1 that we don't have printed. But Jesus says, or it's said, the narration says, that having loved his disciples, he loved them to the uttermost. Now, last time we kind of stressed uttermost. Here we want to stress love. He loved them. He loved his disciples, and he loved them to the full extent of his ability to love them. Now these disciples, and may we say all of us who are disciples, are those people that the Father has given to Jesus. We'll come in John 17, that'll be our last study in the upper room, but we'll come to John 17 and Jesus will stress over and over again that his disciples are a gift from the Father to him. They have been given to him, and he loves them for that reason that the Father gave them to him. And of course, he loves them truly. It's not just to make the Father feel good, but he loves them as well as the Father. In fact, he in other places says, the Father loves me, I love the Father, we share that love together, and whatever love is coming forth from us, each of us have that same degree of affection and commitment. So these disciples are those that the Father has given to him. And he said, of all that you have given me, Father, I have lost not one of them. Meaning that Judas wasn't one of those that the Father had given him, but those that the Father had given him, he is going to take care of them. He's going to show his love for them. He's going to save them. And again, for all disciples, not just these 11 who remain in the upper room. So Jesus not only served them to the uttermost, but he loved them to the same extent. How do we measure love? Well, oftentimes we measure it by outward things. Sometimes we hope we know what's in people's hearts. But the Lord knows that there's nothing lacking at all in the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. The Lord makes it clear that our service, any kind of service that we do, needs to be propelled by love. Love for Him. Lord, you ask me to do this. I love you. I will do whatever you say. But also love for the other disciples. And of course you have John in the Gospel and John in 1 John, the first letter that he wrote, saying that we should love one another. This is Jesus' last and great commandment to his disciples, love one another. And Jesus is saying, in washing your feet, I'm trying to express to you how much I love you. And when we serve one another, even in very minor quote-unquote ways, even in ways that don't attract a lot of attention, it needs to be propelled by our love for one another. Love is a gift to those who become Jesus' disciples by faith alone. Now, someone will say, does that mean we don't love others? We don't love non-Christians? No, Jesus said, love even your enemies. But this is a deeper love. This is the love of the Father through the Son, poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's given to us. And we're only able to love, and we're only propelled by love because the Spirit of God is at work in our hearts so that we love each other as we should. Now our final point comes back again to the whole matter of washing, and I put it last here, because it's not the most important part of what's going on. It's service. It's the motivation for service. It's reaching out in love. All these things are tremendously important. If you get lost in the whole matter of washing, you're going to forget the main thing. So that's why this is last here. But the washing does have significance. And it has significance as your understanding increases. And Jesus is saying, you don't understand everything right now, but you'll understand it hereafter. And part of that understanding is that washing is something real and something significant, although it's of a spiritual nature. And any outward washing that takes place is pointing us to something else. Now, the primary washing in the Bible that we're to be concerned with is baptism. Baptism is simply an expression of washing. God takes dirty, filthy sinners and makes them clean. That's what baptism tells us. It makes them acceptable in God's sight. But there are other things that have to do with washing. For example, there had to do with washing pots and pans and things that the Jews did. Why did they do that? Because that symbolized cleansing. The dishes and the glasses may or may not have had germs on them. But that wasn't the point. The point was to illustrate that God wants cleanliness and not sinfulness. Cleanliness of the inner person. Freedom from sin. And so here you have this business of washing, and he comes to Peter, and Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. I'm not going to be embarrassed by my Lord and Master washing my feet. Peter uses this reluctance for his own escape from embarrassment, if you will. But Jesus uses Peter's reluctance to allow him to illustrate again some important factors that have to do with washing. Now he makes clear that this act of cleansing that he's doing is related to his cross, to be his going to death there on the cross. It's tied in with that. And that's what he means by if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. You have to be cleansed from your sins. We have a hymn we sing sometimes. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But we're not seeing blood thrown all over the place. They did that to some extent in the temple. But just in ordinary conversation, it's the water that represents the cleansing. So Jesus is going to wash Peter's feet. And Peter says, well, don't wash just my feet then, wash all of me. And Jesus is saying, by my passion, by my death on the cross, I'm going to wash you wholly. But having been cleansed, you need daily cleansing. You need your feet washed, quote unquote, in the sense, you see, that you have to come to me daily and confess your sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Okay, so Jesus is really putting forth here two things. Justification, that's the whole person. He saves the whole person. And sanctification, the foot washing, meaning from your daily sins, the faults and problems that you've had during a daily life that's not perfect, you can be cleansed there also. Justification and sanctification. If you've had a full bath, you don't need any more cleansing. But every day you do need to bring your sins to God and confess your sins. Justification and sanctification. All right. Please note that Jesus does not make foot washing a sacrament here. Now, he did say, go and baptize all the nations. He never said, go and foot wash all the nations. Baptize all the nations. So foot washing is not a sacrament. Then there are some Christian groups that insist that foot washing is a sacrament. It's like the Lord's Supper, it's like baptism, and you got to have foot washing too. But Jesus never made foot washing any sort of sacrament. He just said this is an illustration of cleansing that you need to keep in mind. Again, this is not the most important thing here. Service is the most important thing, but since washing came up, Jesus speaks to it. He does show that his cleansing death cleanses us fully and that he's ready to forgive us every day for any sins that we've committed if we confess our sins to him. And let me just close coming back to Judas Iscariot again. Judas Iscariot rejected Jesus, okay? That means he was not clean. He said, you are all clean. And then he said, wait a minute. Not everybody is clean. Why? Because they reject Jesus. You can't be cleansed from your sins, whether you're talking about justification or sanctification. You can't be cleansed from sin unless you go to Jesus. There's no washing apart from Jesus. So Judas rejected it and he wasn't clean, but Peter says, wash me, Lord, and he was clean. And that's what each of us need to do. We need to be like Peter, not like Judas. We need to say, Lord, wash me, cleanse me from my sin. And that's something the Lord Jesus loves to do and is ready to do. So don't be a Judas, and I'm not talking about betrayal now. Don't be a Judas who rejects Jesus and therefore is not washed. Be like Peter who said, Lord, wash me. And indeed, he did find that cleansing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this message about service, about working from the uttermost of our being to your glory. And we pray that you'd help us to serve one another and love one another even as we serve. And then, Lord, do wash us and cleanse us. We confess our sins. And you, Lord, are faithful and just to cleanse us. And we thank you for that. And we do pray now in Christ's name. Amen.